Okay, I'm recording now.
Congratulations. This is the first time we've done a solo podcast in like 6 months, it feels. Well, not 6 months, like 4 months, it feels like.
Solo with two people.
Well, yes.
And as we established on a Discord we're both in, we are both each other's co-hosts.
Yes. I was kind of, I didn't see that until like after the fact, and I forget who it was on the, shout out to the Clear Mike's Art Discord, which is the Discord of the Patreon that supports Claire, who is my GM on Binary Break.
Yes, our friend Claire, who runs Binary Break that Christina is in and I was in the first episode of.
Yes, and it's like, it would be wild if someone was a solo podcaster about Glee. You need two people. You need a feedback loop.
I mean, theoretically, one of us could have done this on our own and then just had a rotating second host.
Yeah.
Which would be like, if it was mandatory to inflict Glee on a different person every week, that would help us inflict it on more people.
Yeah. Oh, I just dropped my cookie in my coffee.
Well,
I gotta rescue it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. There are worse things to drop in your coffee and worse places to drop your cookie, I will say.
Mm-hmm. It's rescued, I'm good.
I told you I had things to gripe about. Here's what I'm gonna gripe about. Last night, I'm out of chili. I need to make more chili. So I grabbed the slow cooker and I grabbed all the stuff to make chili. I finally bought all of my beans because the beans were finally on sale again. I don't know why it took so long for them to be on sale. And so I got everything ready. I put all my cans of beans on the counter and grabbed a can opener. And then I cooked the beef and I put the beef in. And I put all the seasoning on the beef so that it gets in the beef. And then I went and I cut my can opener onto the first can. And I cranked it and I went snap and my can opener broke.
Oh no!
And the way it broke is that the crank, I have one of the ones where you click it on, then you crank it, and it just rotates around. The crank wasn't, like, grabbing on to whatever gear it's supposed to turn the thing, so I was just spinning my gears and nothing was actually cranking. But what I could do, after, I was looking up how to, surely there's a way you can open a can without a can opener, and one of them was like, yes, if you only have one can to open, you can use a spoon to work its edge inside for half an hour. And I'm like, I have 8 cans I need to open. What are some other options? Well, Martha Stewart says, use your fucking knife. And I'm sitting here like, I'm not going to lose a finger trying to make chili.
Yeah.
What I finally determined is that technically, I can still click my can opener onto the edge of the can, and the impact of the blade still like chops through the edge of it, so I just have to go click, open, scooch, click, open, scooch. And so what normally takes me about 10 minutes took me about 45 minutes.
My god.
And I only cut myself once.
I'm glad to hear that.
And honestly, actually that cut doesn't count, because that cut did come from when I was saying, maybe I should use the knife.
Oh no, Tanner.
But it was only superficial, it was like right on the edge of my hand, and it's not even bleeding, so. Anyways.
We didn't sync our audio.
Oh, right. Okay, let's sync our audio and then let's talk about the Ugly Project!
Yes.
1 2 3 4 5 6 I almost didn't say 3 because I was waiting for someone else to say 3 and then I remembered it's just us! Anyways.
Just go ahead and grab a chair and listen now. As we riff the show, Tanner and Christina gonna figure out why we love this show. Better grab your golden stars and slushies, cause you're listening to Loser Like Me. Loser Like Me.
Hello and welcome back to Loser Like Me, a podcast that legally probably could have been talking about Glee for a while yet, but we played it safe. Sorry, SAG-AFTRA, but if you go on strike again, we probably won't be playing it safe. I am now on the side that Hollywood doesn't know what a podcast is, because honestly, we could have gotten away with talking about the Glee Project.
Yeah, this is one of the blessings of being a relatively small Glee podcast in terms of audience reach. Same for the same reasons that I haven't gotten any emails from Taylor Swift about the fact that I used copious amounts of You Belong With Me in the most recent episode of Wayward. I'm hoping that I can fly under the radar and that no one will tell her about it.
Yeah, it's also the same reason we haven't gotten emails from Ryan Murphy's representative saying, hey, what do you mean by you want to throw him into the pit?
Oh, trust me, there will need to be a big pit this season.
Yeah, not this episode, though, but mainly just because not a lot happens this episode.
Yeah.
It's the Glee Project. It's season two.
Yeah.
So, okay. Normally, what we do for the Glee Project is that, what we did last season, is we did weekly episodes, and we recorded two episodes in a day, just as separate episodes. And so it's like, here's an hour about episode one, here's an hour about episode two, etc. This episode is going to be episode zero and episode one together, because so much of those episodes are just explaining what a Glee Project is.
Yes. Literally in my notes, it's like, hey, did you not watch the first season of The Glee Project? And I had to be like, regrettably, yes, I did watch the first season of The Glee Project.
I'm pretty sure at this point, the only people who are watching The Glee Project are the people who are watching The Glee Project. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, you want to just jump into it and just rip through episode zero, which is just the casting process?
Yeah, let's do it. It's the intro when they're talking about like, hey, did you not watch season one of The Glee Project? Here's what you need to know going into season two of The Glee Project. They describe it as a singing, dancing, acting sleepaway camp. I wrote, also with sketchy business practices.
Yeah.
And then also they mention in the intro like, oh, like there are 12 spots to fill. And I look at the video file, which is titled The Final 14.
Uh-oh. That is actually, that's funny, because apparently, I'm pretty sure we mentioned this last time we did the Glee Project, but production at Oxygen was not happy that Ryan picked three winners.
That I believe.
And so this season, you can only have one winner. No exceptions.
Ryan Murphy being Ryan Murphy, he was like, but what if I instead had 14 contestants? Yeah,
and I will say, it is a rare Ryan Murphy W to just say, but what if I screwed over the parent network in a different way?
Yeah. Also, they mention in the intro, like, oh yeah, we're casting for Glee and not Ryan Murphy's other show. And then they showed a poster for American Horror Story, and it's like, I would not be watching it if that's what they were casting for.
But also, as bad of an idea that would be, I would watch a show where actually there was a reality show called Scream Queens, unrelated to the yes. Ryan Murphy TV show Scream Queens.
Oh, really?
Where they were casting the next Scream Queen to, I think she, like, got a key role in a Saw movie.
Sure.
The point being that I feel like the American Horror Story Project would be a fascinating concept.
Yeah, the concept would be, how fucked up can you be in front of Ryan Murphy?
You need to somehow be weird and creepy gay, but also incredibly milquetoast gay.
Yes. It's like, we're gonna hire a white guy who is just going to, like, stare at the camera through lowered brows for 5 minutes. Perfect.
Exactly, because, Ellie, play the clip I sent you.
You know what the show needs. Another straight white man.
Play the Smosh clip. Put it on your soundboard.
I just pictured an alternate universe where somehow this podcast is popular enough to be at conventions, and Emily just like sitting off to the side, like with a soundboard, and just like pressing sound cues throughout the panel.
Okay, sorry, tangent time, because I looked up. Okay, Scream Queens is a 2008 reality series on VH1, produced by Joke Productions and Lying Against Television. It chronicled a group of unknown actresses competing for a role in the Saw film series. The first season winner, Tanedra Howard, won a role in Saw 6, and the second season, which aired in 2010, the winner, Gabby West, won a role in Saw 3D.
Cool.
I'm just seeing if there's anyone I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tanedra Howard also got to appear as she reprised her role from Saw 6 in Saw 3D.
Oh, nice.
And she was in some other shows.
Yeah.
One of the contestants from the second season was in two Markiplier interactive films.
Okay.
And she was also a contestant on Nailed It. And Bizarre... Oh, she's a YouTuber now. That's why she was on Nailed It and Bizarre Dvark and Markiplier and Escape the Night. And a whole bunch of other YouTube reality shows. Oh, and she was one of the background cheerleaders in Glee. Rosanna Panzino. It all comes full circle. Carly Red after Scream Queens. She then proceeded to be on a whole bunch of other VH1 reality shows. She was on Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. She was on Love & Hip Hop The Wedding. She was on The Black Ink Crew, Love & Hip Hop Hollywood, Love & Hip Hop New York, Love & Hip Hop Secrets Untouched, and the VH1 Family Reunion Love & Hip Hop Edition. Good for her.
Yeah, get that paycheck.
Oh, nice. So, Jaina Lee Ortiz, who, as far as I believe she was the runner-up on Scream Queens Season 2, is now the lead in Station 19.
Oh, nice. Good for her.
And has been for the past 7 seasons.
Still good for her.
And the winner, Gabby West, did not do much after. She was in Superstore as Cheyenne's friend. Uncredited.
Ah.
So what basically what I'm here to say is congratulations to Jaina Lee Ortiz and also Rosanna Panzino.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep Jaina Lee's tab open so that I can add her to the page for Runner Up Takes It All on TV Tropes, which is my favorite thing to look at.
Nice. I'll have to look that up when we get done.
I love going on Runner Up Takes It All because it'll be like, yeah, the winners of the Glee project got their roles on the Glee and then fade into relative obscurity. Alex Newell, Tony Award winning Alex Newell.
Yeah, Tony Award winner Alex Newell.
Anyways, so that's what the Glee project is about. It's about casting for the next Scream Queen.
Yeah. So the episode proper starts with a lot of video submissions for people to be on the Glee project that you can just tell that they were made in 2011 and 2012.
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes of people singing snippets of I'm Yours by Jason Mraz.
And they're all in different keys.
And different arrangements. There is one ukulele. I think there was an accordion.
Maybe. I must have missed the accordion. They did back in, I forget if it was 2011 or 2012. Must have been 2012, when they were doing the casting for this. They did big auditions in Chicago and Nashville and New York. I guess because Nashville is, you know, big music city. And Chicago was just glad to be included, honestly. But they did mention, like, well, no, they didn't mention. I made a note that I was like, I hope everyone involved in this was already legally overage.
I mean, that is the one thing they did legally have to do.
Yes. Two things they legally had to do. We'll get to the second one in the first episode.
Yeah, I, like, looking into, as someone who has looked into auditioning for reality shows before, all of them are like, will you be 18, are you 18 or will you be 18 by X date? So yeah. Some of the people auditioning, like, they could have been 17 as long as they turned 18 by the time they'd be shipped out to the Glee Shack.
Yeah, and we get, you know, kind of just the standard, like, Robert Ulrich being like, yeah, well, we just had all of these really cool people come in to audition and wow, everyone is so talented. And I tell people over and over to be yourselves because that's Glee, but some people took it a little too far. And, like, this is said immediately before footage of someone auditioning who seems to have recently had surgery done on their nose.
Yeah. I mean, so it is kind of messed up where he's like, be yourself, but not too much.
Yeah, I mean, that's Glee. That actually is Glee. Be yourself. But be yourself in a way that's marketable.
Exactly. That being said, I am glad that they, like, the clip they showed right after that was, like, someone who, yeah, honestly probably shouldn't have been auditioning, not because of, like, uh-oh, nose job, but because I'm concerned if you sing too hard, something might pop.
I forget who that was.
No, like, I'm talking about the girl with the nose job.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because the way they framed it was not like, oh, well, this girl got plastic surgery, and that might be a little too being yourself. No, the way they framed it is, I'm not sure this is safe for you to be auditioning for the singing show so long after having surgery on, a thing that resonates when you sing.
Yes, yeah. And they do a lot of, like, quick shots about, like, hey, well, look at all of these diverse people who want to be on the TV show Glee and are not going to make it on the TV show Glee.
Yeah.
There is apparently such a thing as too diverse for Glee.
Yeah.
And notably, one of the people who we see audition is Tony Award-winning actor Allison Stroker.
But that's not as much as a wow moment, just because she does get on the show. Like she, spoiler yes. alert, but she does
yes,
get on the
she
show.
She does get on the show. But every time I see her, I am going to mention the fact that she does, in fact, have an actual goddamn Tony.
Exactly. Also, there's a segment where Damien, Alex, and Sam sit in on auditions.
Excuse you, Tony Award winner Alex Newell.
Tony Award winner Alex Newell sits in auditions. It would have been funny if they sat in on the audition for Tony Award winner Allison Stroker.
That would have been great. I just love that it's like the Venn diagram of like people who have been on Glee and people who have won a Tony. And it is Jenna and Alex and, I mean, Allie wasn't, was did Allie get to be on Glee in any capacity?
Yeah, she was on one episode of Glee.
Okay, cool. Then there's three people in the center of the Venn diagram, and I love it for them. But yeah, sorry, you were saying about auditions.
I was just saying, Sam, Damien, and Tony Award winner Alex Newell sit in on the auditions, and it's just interesting. Like, so, Lindsay must have said fuck no to that shit.
Good for her, honestly.
And then, yeah, auditions happen. They choose, I think, like, 64 finalists, which will then be 80. Whittled down to, 80 finalists, which will then be whittled down to, like, 32 or something, which will then be whittled down to 12, allegedly.
And, like, as they're, like, picking out the contestants, someone mentions, like, oh, we haven't had country on Glee yet. And I said, and you never will.
And you never will.
But also, someone mentioned, it's about finding someone who Ryan can be inspired to write for. AKA someone who has a character trait about themselves that can be flanderized into a stereotyped character for the purposes of Glee.
Here's the thing. Actually, they keep saying that. I don't think that was actually their game plan going into this. Like, I know they keep saying, oh, we want to inspire Ryan. But I think they already had some characters. Like, here's what I think happened going into season 4. They were like, okay, we're going to have two main new guys and two main new girls, okay? The guys are going to be the bad boy and the nice guy. And the girls are going to be the ingenue and the bad girl. And they were just like, whoever gets to the end who wins, we'll just slot them into whichever role they fit best. And then we will cast professional actors for the other ones.
Yeah.
So it's like, theoretically, if Nelly had won this season, spoilers.
Yeah, if.
You should know by now that Nelly was one of the people who infamously did not win. But if Nelly had won this season, she probably would have gone on to play Marley, and then someone else would have taken the role that the winner got.
Yes. And, like, they do mention later in this episode zero, as it were, that they are specifically trying to cast a Finn type.
Yeah.
So,
but the thing is, they didn't, well, I'm going to say this out in time, they didn't need the Glee Project to cast a Finn type, because that's LA true. Is full of Finn types, and people who can play Finn types.
Mm-hmm. But also, a fun little thing is that they, a couple of times, showed people auditioning, like, close-ups, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just had such a nostalgic moment because someone was wearing glasses that had, like, red frames in front, and then the arms had a checkerboard pattern on it, and I was like, oh, that takes me back to 2011.
So then we get some segments where Zach is teaching the girls choreography while Nikki is doing vocal stuff with the boys, and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
They never actually, like, perform any choreographed numbers for Ryan or the judges. It is mainly just Zach seeing how well can you do choreography.
Yes. There's a part during Zach's dance practice with the girls where Tony Award winner Ali Stroker is doing, like, actual wheelchair choreography. And it's like, damn, it's almost like they should have had actual wheelchair dancers choreograph Kevin McHale for the dance numbers.
Yeah. Zach is like, Kevin has to work a little harder.
Yes, that did make me give a good chuckle.
Also, I just want to point out, because I was trying to, like, zoom in on the girls and the guys that I know were getting in during this, like, choreography round. And so, like, I'm looking at Nelly and Danny, who are just so awkward in the girls' choreography room. Danny, because they're, like, so gender right now.
Yeah.
And Nelly, just because, I think at some point, I can't remember if it's this episode or later episode, but she's like, I don't know how to move my bod.
Yeah. Relatable.
We also get a specific section where Zach is doing choreography with two blind contenders, Mac and Mario.
Yeah.
Mario is the one who gets in.
Yes.
But it's nice that they had two blind guys.
Yeah. And it's nice. The way that Zach does choreography with them is that he, like, lets them hold on to his body as he does the movements so they can feel what the movements are supposed to be like.
Yeah.
And I think that's nice. There's also a part in the music section with Nikki where Nikki says to one of the auditionees, who is upfront with the fact that he was diagnosed with ADHD and autism when he was young, and she's like, hey, you should make eye contact more.
Charlie, my beloved.
I know it was 2011, and we knew a lot less then than we do now, but, like, also I started writing down Nikki in my notes as the music lich. Because I still remember that reliquary necklace that she had in season one. I've never forgotten it.
Some other people get clips. There's a guy named Nick Johnson, and he's a farmer from Whiteville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Whiteville, Kentucky.
I think it was Tennessee.
Okay.
But he has such a pronounced country accent.
Listen, the people that they have on this show that are auditioning from the South are very much from the South.
Yes.
There is Rob from Missouri, who can pop and lock. There's Michael, who loves calculus.
Yes. God bless him.
There's Alyssa, gastric bypass surgery.
Yes.
There's Brie Von Blaiken, sister of Marissa Von Blaiken.
Yeah!
I'm kind of shocked that they didn't put her in, because I know one thing about reality shows is that they love siblings. They love putting a sibling on, and the sibling's whole shtick is like, I'm the sibling.
Yeah. There's also, do you want to mention the celebrity appearing in the auditions?
Who?
Or do you want me to mention them?
I missed them, so you mention them.
Also appearing in, like, the quick montage of people performing their solos in front of Ryan Murphy is famed YouTuber John Cozart.
For real?
For real! Listeners, if perhaps you are not on the same portion of the internet that I was on in, say, 2013, 2014, John Cozart is, he's the kid with the ukulele who did, like, abridged summaries of series set to music. For, I don't know if it's still his handle on YouTube, but for a while it was Paint. P-A-I-N-T. Subscribe!
His audition video for Glee is still up there.
Oh, God bless him. But suffice it to say, he is unfortunately not going to be on the Glee project, but fortunately, he's going to be doing very well for himself in about 3 years.
And continue to do well for himself.
Yes, yes. His YouTube star began to rise 3 years after this was filmed, and he's still doing good as far as I know.
He doesn't do much, but when he does do it, it usually goes well.
Yeah. They also mention there was a kid named Jacob from Nevada who has a big beanie and is upfront about the fact that he's bi and he dealt with homelessness and an unsupportive family.
Yeah, but we can't have bisexuals on Glee. Moving on.
Yeah.
And then we get a confession cam from Robert saying, there's just so much more diversity this year than last year. Which is probably because, like, people auditioning for the first season, like, if you were not the generic reality show person, you probably were, like, you were taking a big risk because usually they don't cast very diverse groups for reality shows, especially back then.
Yeah.
But then seeing that they did actually, like, take a lot of risks for some people, comparatively, a lot mm-hmm. more diverse people auditioned for season two, and that is why so diverse, and so, like, that's a good yeah. sign. And if they had gotten third season of Glee Project, I imagine it would have been even more diverse. But anyways.
Yes.
Robert says that the season is so much diverse, and then here comes Blake Jenner. Play the clip!
You know what the show needs. Another straight white man.
Anytime I say play the clip, it's just play that clip. The same clip.
Yeah.
We're going to use it at least once an episode.
And we go through and we see, like, they're picking out the top 30 who are going to do their thing for Ryan. And I have to get approval from Ryan Murphy before they go through. And I do want to mention real quick, this is a joke that I have been waiting to make for, like, 2.5 years. Tanner, have you seen the movie The Puma Man?
I know of Puma Man.
Listeners and Tanner, The Puma Man is a 1970s, 1980s, extremely low-budget superhero movie that was filmed in Italy. They covered it on Mystery Science Theater 3000. If you know where to look, it's on YouTube. And the main character in The Puma Man is this bland white man from, like, America who is suddenly conscripted to be the hero of and channel the powers of a puma to fight evil and rescue a Mesoamerican mask from an evil bad guy. And Blake Jenner just looks so much like this milquetoast puma man guy that I am going to refer to him in my notes as the puma man.
That's so specific.
Tanner, this is how my brain works. You should know this by now.
No, fair enough. The thing is, I'm usually the one who has very specific bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah, Blake Jenner is here. Anyways, there's also a girl with severe burns. I did not catch mm-hmm. her name, unfortunately.
I didn't mention her name, which sucks. And that's kind of rude.
Oh, that's worse.
Yeah. I think Robert specifically mentioned, like, oh, like, she would be a diversity cast. And I'm like, you sure you want to say that on live television? Robert Ulrich, casting director?
Yeah. I mean, because there is a difference in just, like, the weight of the words between a diversity hire and casting someone to make the show. No, there really isn't, actually. I'm not sure if there is a nice way to say that.
No.
You always want to cast diversely. You just don't want that to be the only person they're there. Because quite often what happens is you cast diverse and then they stand in the background. And then they're, like, right on the edge of the promotional poster, but you can point to go, see?
Yeah.
Anyways, Blake, for the final callbacks, Ryan is there. Blake, during the interview portion of the audition, which is like the Miss America's contest to get on Glee, during the interview portion, he says that he wants to be funny, but serious, and also, he sells parrots.
Yes. Well, like, he specifically mentions, like, he would like to be cast as the funny guy who, like, has moments of emotional seriousness when he needs to.
So, which is, you want to be the character on show.
Yes, yeah.
That is many people, that's not specific. Charlie comes in, he sings like two bars, and Ryan says, you're in!
Yes, and he's like, oh god, is everything okay? And then I forget, I think it was Zach who was like, quick, Charlie, run, go, you're in, go. And I was like, this will set the tone for the rest of the show.
And just to real quick compare Charlie to Blake, because Blake is like, I want to be funny but serious. Charlie, at some point in a blog post or like on his website or something, he had this whole backstory written for his potential character. Was like, I'm the long lost younger brother of Finn Hudson because his dad had a secret family that the rest of them didn't know about during his drug trip, and then I show up wanting to reconnect with the only family I have left.
Charlie is also the auditionee who has ADHD and autism, and like,
yes,
we recognize you and we support you.
Also, at this point, I've run out of notes for the preamble before we get into like the people who are here.
Yeah.
So let me just go. Let me tell you who got onto the Glee Project season 2 of the Glee Project second season.
Yes.
But let me find an order that isn't in the order they're eliminated, so I'm not spoiling anything.
Oh, I can. I just wrote it down in alphabetical order if you want it.
Perfect. You say the name and I'll say any fun facts we need to say up top.
Abraham.
Abraham is the first and only Asian that will be on the show. He's cool. He's got like red streaks in his hair.
He's got Rufio hair.
He's got Rufio hair. Yes, that's literally what he has.
Next is Tony Award winner Ally Stroker.
Ally Stroker is the wheelchair user, and she's rad, and you've probably heard of her. Next.
Yes.
Oh, also, Ally and Abraham are the oldest contestants at 24 years old. Ally's from New York, New York. Abraham is from San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Next is Eileen.
Eileen Beyramoglu, not Beyramoglu. She is the cool Turkish Muslim girl. She is 19.
In her interview, she told a fun story about the fact that her family is apparently very conservatively Muslim, and her mom won't let her use tampons.
She's like, my mom doesn't even know that I kissed a boy. And all the directors are like, well, she will now.
Yeah. Next is Blake Jenner, the Puma Man.
Blake Jenner, the Puma Man, is 19.
Yes. And I found a picture of the Puma Man, and I'm posting it in chat.
There is nothing else interesting to say about him. Oh my god, he does look like Puma Man.
I told you! I didn't expect you to know off the top of your head, but yes. Next up is Charlie. Charlie, we support him.
We love Charlie. Charlie, severe ADHD and autism, and he's 22 years old. On the show, he's credited as Charlie Lubeck, but he's since gone by the stage name Charlie Moon.
Mm-hmm. He also specifically has, like, theater training, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Next up is Danny.
Danny Shay is 23 years old. They use she, her pronouns on the show, but they go by they, them. They're also notable before the Glee Project for getting to the quarterfinals of the America's Got Talent Season 6, and their original claim to fame is being featured on a website called Lesbians That Look Like Justin Bieber.
Oh my god, it was the 2010s, huh?
It sure was. But the thing is, they did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was also kind of like the default like way to express that you are queer in some kind.
Well, looking like Justin Bieber?
That was a lot that applied to a lot of people from my high school, Tanner.
Yeah, actually, yeah, fair.
Next up is Lily.
Lily Mae Harrington, age 19. She is a very big girl.
Yes. Fun, great voice.
Yes.
Next up is Mario. We love Mario.
Mario Bonds, 24. He is black and blind and he uses a cane.
Mm-hmm. Maxfield.
Maxfield Camp from 22. He's a country boy from Nashville, Tennessee, and he only just started singing 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. He's the real diversity hire. He's country. Michael, math boy.
Michael Weissman, age 18. His thing, yeah, math boy. And he's the youngest contestant this season. Like, he says that, like, in one of his talking heads, he says that he is still in high school.
Mm-hmm. Nellie.
Nellie Weitenheimer, age 19. She's like, we don't get a lot of like her big deal in the preamble, but getting on the show, we will quickly learn that she has, first off, amazing voice, and also she's socially awkward.
Yeah, and notably, she has musical training by performing in a big band.
That's right, that was the other big thing.
So like, love to see it. Next up, I did not re-alphabetize this list, so next up in my list is Harper.
Yes, credit on the show as Shanna Henderson, but she has since changed her stage name to Harper Gray, G-R-A-E.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a Southern girl. She's from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot just how Southern she was until I started watching this again. Like, damn, that is a very pronounced accent. I love it.
She has big Megan Hilty energy.
Yes.
Then we have Taryn.
Taryn Douglas, 22. She is black and she misses her mom. This is the first time she's ever been away from home.
Yes. She's from Detroit.
Nice.
And then finally, we have Tyler.
Tyler Ford, 21. Coming onto the show, their big thing is that they are trans and they just recently started HRT and surgery and all that whatnot. They're also half black, half white, and Jewish. And since being on the show, they are currently using they, them pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think at some point they may have used its pronouns, but not presently as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I did double check before we got on the recording, and Tyler's Instagram profile does list they, them for pronouns, so.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the 14 people on the Glee Project.
Yes.
Oh yeah, also we get a montage of Robert calling them, and he's like, oh, we can only pick so many people to be on the Glee Project mm-hmm. season 2, mm-hmm. and you're one of them.
Yeah.
And everyone loses their minds.
Yeah, everyone's kind of a little mad that Robert pulled that on them.
I think it's funny. I think it's cute and funny. Because they're not mad. They're like, ha ha ha, I can't believe you did that!
Yeah, but like, if anyone pulled that on me, like when I was applying to a job, I would be upset.
Yeah, but this isn't a job. I mean, it is a job, but it's not a job. This is like, this is still part of the job interview.
Yes, this is a job and also theater camp. But then the origin episode ends with a little mini music video set to The Edge of Glory with everyone walking up to their audition.
Yeah, and I really like this music video.
I think it's fun. And as they all get together in like the space, they're all hanging out and everything, and they're in the old classroom set. And then Zach is like, I think we're gonna need a bigger classroom. And then once again, in the end credits, they post the disclaimer that the producers of Oxygen had input on the casting choices.
Yeah. I will say two things I want to point out for this music video. Honestly, go watch it, because I think it is one of the strongest ones. But first off is that everyone is like arriving in LA to be part of the Glee Project. That's like the premise of the video. And Michael walks up to Tyler during their segment, and Tyler's singing their part. And they're singing their part while they're getting a hot dog from a street vendor. And they clearly, like, didn't know what to do. So they just kind of shrug. And they're like, yep, it's hot dogs. The other thing I want to mention, that this is something that Charlie has said in an interview regarding the music video, is there's a part where Charlie is banging on some snare drums, but it's like, it's not like handheld bongo style. It's like a piece of a drum kit that came off.
Yeah.
And apparently he was trying to play the drums normally and this part popped off and they're like, just go with it, just go with it. So we grabbed it and just started carrying it around and it started digging into his palm and he ended up like with a bit of an injury afterwards.
Oh my God.
But Chai was just like, go for it. Okay.
Yeah.
One thing you gotta know about Charlie is that he's gonna do it.
But that's the introductory episode of the Glee Project.
Yep.
We probably should put like a stinger or something in here to break up the two episodes.
Oh, I thought we were just going to drive right into it.
Or whatever's fine.
Next, individuality.
Yes. No, Tanner, it's not just individuality. It's individuality.
Two.
So the first people to enter the new dorm room are, first off, the new dorm room looks a lot nicer because they're in a building.
Yeah, they're in a building instead of a disused camping cabin in the middle of the woods of California. Yeah. There's a table that looks like a Rubik's Cube.
Danny and Charlie are the first people to enter, and they both remember each other from auditions, which is really nice.
Yeah.
It's because I don't remember any of the season 1 people like, oh my gosh, it's you! But a lot of the season 2 people are like, oh my gosh, Danny, oh my gosh, Charlie! And like, as people start coming in, they're all like, oh my gosh, this person is definitely gonna make it. Like, oh yeah, a lot of people are like, who else do you think will make it? Oh my gosh, it's gonna be Mario. And like, everyone is saying Mario's gonna make it. And then Mario comes in. They're like, we knew it!
Yeah, I love that when she comes in, Allie Stroker immediately starts glomping everyone. I'm like, aww. But also, like she says in her introductory part, like, I could be the girl who sang and did shows, and I wouldn't have to be the girl in the wheelchair. And Tony Award winner Allie Stroker, I have great news for you.
Yeah, no thanks to Ryan, but.
Yeah. And also, there is so much screaming, but it's happy screaming.
Yeah. Okay, also, somebody says Abraham is easy on the eyes, but I don't know who. And my note just says Abraham is pretty easy on the eyes, so I'm just standing here like, did I write this? Just for fun?
I mean, it's valid.
Yeah, he's very pretty.
It's so fun when, like Mario comes in, and, like, he walks in, everyone's like, Mario! And give him all a big group hug, and then when they stop, he's like, let's hug again! And then we get cute little scenes of like Danny and Blake giving Mario like a tour of like walking around the house.
Yeah, and they're, like, saying, oh, yeah, he's counting steps, and, like, you turn this way, then you turn this way, that's what this is. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they stepped up.
Yeah. And you know how they also stepped up? Because they legally had to. There's a chairlift in the house, so it's ADA compliant.
Oh, good. In one of the talking heads, Ali says that the season is so diverse. Like, I was paralyzed when I was young. Mario went blind when he was really young. Maxfield just started singing 6 months ago.
One of those is different than the other, Ali. Come on, girl.
She's trying. She's being positive.
Yes, she is being very polite.
And Eileen gets a talking head where she's like, yeah. All the guys are so hot. I love flirting with guys.
Yes. Yeah. And they're all just enjoying hanging out and everything. This lounge room has a kitchen, or like a kitchenette at least.
Yeah.
Now I'm just picturing like the season one folks coming back and be like, damn bitch, we lived like that. Or we didn't live like that.
Because if in the group chat that apparently there was a group chat that had all the season one and season two contestants.
Oh boy.
The season one contestants, like after watching the show, like, y'all got a house?
Anyway, Robert comes in at some point and hands out sheet music, and the homework song for this week is Born This Way. They have to figure out parts on their own and their own choreography, which I think is how it was the first time.
Yes.
But notably, Lily has a great idea, which is if there are parts that more than one person wants, the fairest way is to do rock, paper, scissors for it. And I like that.
Yeah. Michael and Max have concerns that they are not individual enough. And mm-hmm. Max specifically is like, I don't think I ever listened to this song all the way through because I'm from Nashville.
Yeah.
Charlie,
God bless him. Charlie steps up and immediately starts leading choreography, figuring out like how we're going to stage everything. From the bits that they show in the episode, he seems like he's actually good at like directing everyone, because in season one, like there was already personality clash from the start and like regards to who was going to take charge on directing things. And in this episode, at least, like Charlie is like, yeah, hey, here we go. Let's do this. Let's get it working. So good for him.
Eileen thinks that people are being too nice about everything. And I'm just sitting here like, don't worry, Eileen. Charlie's niceness is going to grow on you.
Yeah, I saw the teaser for next episode.
Anyways, time for the homework assignment.
Yeah, homework assignment. They have obviously they have a bigger classroom set up because they have more people this time. But it's also much more colorful than last time, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, they paid so you could have slightly more saturated paint. And they're getting used to the space, and then the guest mentor walks in, Leah Michelle, boo!
Technically, the guests are Ryan and Leah.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan isn't the guest mentor, but he's like, hi, I'm Ryan Murphy, I'm also here. Anyways, here's Leah Michelle.
Here's my best friend, Leah Michelle.
I made sure to stage everything so that she doesn't have to read.
Yeah. Also, Ryan Murphy says, like, this is an inspiration contest. I'm looking to be inspired for writing characters. And I wrote down, asterisk, steal.
What I wrote down was, the Glee Project is a talent contest, but more than that, it's an inspiration contest. But more than that, it's a talent contest. I also have a side note where I'm just asking, this applies to both the homework assignment and the music video assignment, which is, how are these kids supposed to show off their individuality if they only get, like, 3 seconds in a shoulder shimmy?
Because they're supposed to make it count. Very boomer of them.
Yeah. But after the song, they sing the song, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's good. They cut to a weird reaction shot from Leah where she's kind of, like, smizing after Allie's solo, and I'm like...
Because she's threatened!
Yes, because she's threatened. Because Leah Michelle, no Tony Award winner, is threatened by Tony Award winner Ali Stroker.
Also, Blake's solo was pretty weak.
Yeah. Also, I think it was nice that when Mario had his solo at the end, he was kind of like, he like ended up like walking backward to get back into place. And in a couple of shots, you could see that like the others were like helping guide him into place, which I think is very kind of them. And then, like, when the musical number is over, like, Leah is giving everyone her input. And, like, at one point, Leah Michelle says to someone, to Danny, someone who is clearly going through some kind of gender thing, you're so beautiful, you're so gorgeous, I can't take my eyes off of you! And Danny just looks so uncomfortable. I'm like, yeah, mood.
She also calls Lily Mae beautiful, though, and Lily Mae starts tearing up because apparently she's never heard anyone say that to her, which is very sad.
Yeah, and, like, at the same time, like, if If a celebrity from my favorite TV show was personally complimenting me, I would probably also become a pile of sludge.
Absolutely. Also, if Lea Michele is the one calling you beautiful, then you can truly only go up from there.
Yes. Oh, I got a screenshot of Danny reacting to Lea telling them that they're beautiful.
Oh boy. Oh, mood.
Listeners, this is just a screenshot of, like, you can see, like, the Ride of Valkyries playing behind Danny's eyes.
No, it's not Ride of the Valkyries, it's just pure static, because that's the expression I had. At a certain point, I started losing a lot of weight because I was attempting keto. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, Tanner, you look so good because you've lost so much weight. And I'm just telling them, like, I look good because I've lost weight. That means I didn't look good before. That means I need to lose more weight. And so it's a very similar...
Yeah.
Fun fact, everyone, my body dysmorphia immediately evaporated when I realized I didn't have to hold myself up to male beauty standards.
Hey!
And then shortly after, I realized I didn't have to hold myself up to men. I mean, I could, but not like that.
But yeah. So, Lea Michele has lots of things to say that I don't personally... Yeah, anyway.
She also says Mario's very good.
Yes, which is true.
Yes.
And the winner of the homework challenge is Harper.
Yay.
Whose prize is a one-on-one mentoring time with Lea Michele, and please do not learn anything from her.
I mean, I don't think Lea teaches anything, because Harper just sings a bit of the song in the mentor segment. We're cutting ahead, but let me just get out of this way. The mentor segment is Harper sings some of the song, and Lea's like, wow, you're so good. And what about that big note? And Harper's like, I'm going to go for it. And Lea's like, great. End of segment!
Real quick, I do want to specifically note that, like, I also got a screenshot of when Lea, like, there's a part where, like, Harper is singing for Lea Michele, and Lea has this face, she has her face of, you are more talented than me, and I don't want to admit that, I'm threatened.
I never want to be on this show again.
She has the default threatened smize. Although she does say one thing that is helpful, which is, like, when I wanted to sing Defying Gravity 4 years ago, it's like, honey, I know you wanted to sing Defying Gravity before 4 years ago, but she's like, I went to my vocal coach and I said, I want to sing Defying Gravity. And so we gradually worked our way up to me singing the high note. And like, that makes sense. This is the one thing you will ever say that makes sense.
Sorry, real quick, Lea Michele sidebar.
Oh?
I was checking to see if Wikipedia mentioned the conspiracy theories.
About what? About her not being able to read?
Yeah. And her comment from 2022 was her, she says, it's sad, it really is. I think often if I were a man, a lot of this wouldn't be the case. And Lea, I'm sorry, but the illiteracy has nothing to do with your gender.
Yes.
Here's the thing, I've seen people be misogynist against Lea Michele, and that's generally mean, and I don't do that. Only be mean to Lea Michele when you're like, is justified.
Yes, we have issues with her that are not relevant to her gender.
Honestly, I feel like if she was a man, we'd be harder on her.
Maybe.
I think Lea Michele should sing If I Were a Boy to raise awareness, and I'm sure it will go over so well.
Oh boy.
What is she raising awareness for? I don't know, probably herself. Anyways.
Anyway, music video this week is gonna be Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. And the framing device is going to be, you're in an amateur glee club, but secretly you imagine in a dream sequence that you all are rock stars at a rock concert.
Is this not the premise for We're Not Gonna Take It?
I think so. Eric White get a new idea.
Except executed far worse. This is...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this... Harper, you're great. You sing amazing. You're great in this song.
Mm-hmm.
You shine because they gave you enough time to shine.
Yeah.
They did not arrange the song well. They did not execute the pieces of the singing well. They did not shoot the music video in a way that is interesting in any manner.
No. And, like, I would like to go a little bit more into the details of, like, leading up to it.
Okay. Yes. So, yeah, I'm getting way ahead of myself.
It's okay.
It's choreography.
Yeah, choreography. Everyone is in their heads about everything because all of a sudden it's real. And I feel that for y'all. Also, I noticed that all of the guys had to shave. Because, like, before, like, most notably on Max Field, a lot of the guys had, you know, like, scruff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all came to practice shaved because they're supposed to look like high schoolers now.
You know what? Fuck you, Pilsner Glee Project contestants.
Yeah. There's a part during the choreography where Zach and Mario are working together, and Mario is like, this blind guy is gonna sing and dance his way onto Glee. And I'm like, I wish that was true for you.
Yeah.
But also... Also, like, you don't have to.
But I'm glad you're trying.
Yes. Yeah. And Tyler mentions that having been on T for at this point 7 months, that they're still getting used to their new body, which is fair.
Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like, so Zach doesn't really give them a lot, because a lot of the clips we see of him giving them advice are just be yourself, like, go the way you feel with your body. But I feel like Zach was also, kind of constrained because the concept of the music video doesn't involve much choreography, period.
Yeah, it's a lot more blocking than it is choreography.
Yeah, so he's just like, do what comes natural to you. And so Danny just like, rawr.
Yeah, no, I thought he said turn around and seduce yourself, at which point Danny was making, yes. was doing like a shoulder shimmy and like rawr hands. And I'm just like, oh, God bless you. Affectionate.
Yes.
Music time.
Okay, so the first note I have for music time is that when we get to, like, the waiting room to go into the booth, the first line we hear is Charlie go, it's the cheese lamp from season one!
I didn't even know what the cheese lamp was from season one.
In season one, the first line that we hear when they get to the music green room is Hannah going, look at that lamp, it's got holes in it, it's like Swiss cheese!
Oh, I thought Charlie meant season one of Glee.
No, season one of the Glee Project.
Okay.
Charlie, super fan.
Yeah, Charlie, were you on the Glee forum in 2010?
No, I think he's...
I say this as if Charlie's in the podcast and can answer me.
Charlie, can you hear me? Were you on the forum?
This is also when we should mention that, hey, if anyone from the Glee Project is listening to this, like, y'all are welcome to come on the show. Like, obviously.
Please!
We are here. We support you. We have, I would say, a delightfully antagonistic relationship with the practices of the show.
Yeah, like, the writing. Do we want you for your clout? Yes, absolutely. But also, you all seem like really cool people, and we want you to be able to air your grievances.
Yeah, we'll treat you better than Glee did.
Exactly.
Which is not a high bar to surpass.
Exactly.
But yeah, also congratulations, Nikki and her husband, Anders?
Anders?
I forget his first name.
Adam Anders.
Adam. Nikki and Adam are expecting. Congratulations. Notably, the reliquary is absent. I'm just not going to let this bit go. I think it's funny. But yeah, it's music time. And the only note that I wrote down here is Taryn needs more confidence. And I'm like, yeah, this is her first time doing this. Maybe you should, I don't know, be supporting her. Give her helpful advice.
Yeah. Like, that's the note that we brought up last season, is that they expect everyone to walk in and be professionals.
Yes.
Like, the whole premise of the show is that they're amateurs, so you shouldn't be surprised when they act like amateurs.
Yes, and like, at the beginning of the studio time, like, Nikki was like, hey, how many of you have studio experience? And over 2/3 of the auditionees said yes, they have had studio experience, and then they did nothing to help the people who didn't have studio experience.
Yeah.
The Glee Project! And then we see Leah's mentoring session. And we already kind of talked about it. But I just would like to reiterate that, like, when Harper asked Leah Michelle, like, so do I go for the high note in belt? Do I sing it in mixed voice? Leah Michelle, I don't think, knows what that means, because she said, you just gotta go for it.
Just gotta give her.
Give her what? Just give her!
Just give her! Just go out there and make them proud. Do it for the home team.
Then we briefly see Harper in the studio, and Harper not only gets the belt note, she sings above the belt note and then slides down to the note as written. And everyone is floored by how cool this is, because it's very cool. And
it's,
she did
so
this
good.
Without Leah Michelle.
It's so good. Like, that note, I compare it to when Chris Colfer did Les Jazz Hot, like the ending note of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harper's note in Here We Go, or Here I Go, Here Somebody Goes, is comparable to that note.
Yeah.
She has the range.
She does. But yeah. And also, Maxfield struggles in the recording booth because he is unsure of it, which is fair and justifiable. Anyway, it's time for the music video.
It's time for the music video. See, so we said the premise, but truly here's what this music video is. It's some kids walking through school, looking poignantly at the camera.
And handing out posters about how they're having a Glee Club performance featuring Harper later today.
Yeah. So, well, it's like special guest, which implies that she's not a regular member of the Glee Club.
Yeah. But also, there's a part where they're handing out posters amongst themselves in the cafeteria. Like, hey, you need to put up posters. And they hand Mario a stack of papers. He's blind! Emily, special request. If you could get the clip from Avatar The Last Airbender of Toph being like,
"Well, it sounds like a sheet of paper, but I guess you're referring to what's on the sheet of paper."
Exactly.
Like, y'all, come on.
And yeah, that's basically the whole music video. Is like, they walk through the halls and hand out some flyers, and then they get to the choir room, and then it transitions to the Rockstar Imagine sequence, which lasts all of 10 seconds.
And it's very poorly shot.
Yes, like, the lighting's terrible.
Yes, the lighting is terrible. No one gets more than, like, maybe 3 seconds of, like, individual screen time when, like, as they go through, poor Max Field in his close-up, he just looks so nervous to be looking directly into a camera.
Yeah.
When everyone is, like, walking through the hallway to, like, yeah, we're all friends, look how we're hanging out, like, they cut to Allie, Tony Award winner and wheelchair user Allie Stroker. She is, like, solidly in the bottom half of the frame.
Yeah.
I'm like, just move the camera down another 2 inches. Also, surprise cameo appearance from Iqbal Teva.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like, it's right after Lily Mae's segment, where she's handing out the flyers, and then, Principal Figgins just shows up and takes a flyer, and, like, nods.
No, he doesn't take a flyer. He, like, waves it off. He's like, nah, like, I'm not touching show choir again.
Yeah, and then Lily Mae, like, does a double take.
Yeah. I wonder if they told her ahead of time.
That's the thing. I'm so curious. Like, okay, so did they have Figgins show up and everyone had a little moment? Oh my gosh, it's Figgins! And then say, okay, Lily, he's gonna, like, pass up on a flyer and then you're gonna do a double take? Like, was this planned? Or were they just, like, launch the surprise Figgins? And Lily Mae is like, oh, okay. Was that Figgins?
I'm inclined to say he was just, like, on set. And he's like, hey, could I just be a walk-on real quick?
I really need someone to tell me. You don't even have to be on the podcast. Just tweet. just go on Twitter. Just go on Blue Sky.
And yeah, say, don't go on Twitter. Go on Blue Sky.
I'm passing you a note in class that says, did you know Figgins was going to be there? Check yes or no.
But yeah, so that's the music video. The costumes for the dream sequence were pretty okay.
What you could see of them. It was so dark.
What you could see of them. Yeah.
Also, during the shooting of the music video, they say that Blake has a Jim Carrey quality.
Sure. Also, like, notably, like, Blake mentions that he's had prior experience with at least auditioning for film roles, because he was based in LA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he is more natural on camera than Max Field is, for example.
Yeah. Time for the intermission.
Yeah, there's like a random scene that I think was supposed to come earlier in the episode.
I think this season they just have these little segments where it's like, here's something you missed that we can fit into the narrative. Just like a breather before the elimination segments.
Yeah, and it's just of like Mario teaching Zack how to use a cane, which is, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we cut to everyone like getting ready for the big reveal of like who made it, who didn't make it. Or who made it and who is going to the final three for the episode. And, like, Lily points out that, like, as stressful as it is, the whole point of having, like, 2 hours of notice to perform a solo is so the producers can see how well they perform under pressure. Which is a good point. And also, Taryn talks about how much she misses her mom, and I'm just like, oh, honey, you are not long for this project.
Yeah.
Which might be for the best in the long run.
Yeah. So they go through it, and they're like, they say a bunch of people, you're so good, you're called back, yay.
Mm-hmm.
They do mention that Lily Mae, Aileen...
Oh, I wrote down what they said.
Okay, yeah.
They say since Mario is blind, he needs to work on emoting with his body language. Since he can't emote with his eyes, he needs to emote with the rest of his body. They just say that Lily is missing something in her performance. Don't know what, just something. They say that Taryn is nervous and unconfident. Well, then how do you improve confidence?
Just be more confident. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. And then the bottom three are Max Field, who didn't, quote, perform. Aileen, who they say lost her spark of being spunky that they saw in auditions. And they told Tyler to be less of a perfectionist. Just pretend you don't have dysmorphia! Yeah! Yeah. Then we just see them getting ready.
Yeah, nothing really standout happens during the preparations other than just going, oh no, that's the last chance!
Mm-hmm.
So... Aileen is going to sing Without You by David Guetta featuring Usher. She does really, really well. I like it.
Yeah, she doesn't do much in the way of the choreography or emoting, but to her credit, she doesn't really chew the Without You's that much.
Yeah, she enunciates.
It's a win in my book.
Yeah, and Ryan asks her who she has the hots for.
Yeah, Yeah. And she's like, keep me around and we'll see.
Yeah.
Which is good. I feel like part of the way to succeed on the Glee project is to just kind of like randomly be like a little bit threatening towards Ryan Murphy. show him that you don't fear him.
Tyler is going to sing ABC by the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, they do all right. They do. It sounds like they figure out what they're trying to do with the song, like in the back half of it.
Yeah. And my concern was like, I hope that they're not going to ask Tyler to sing in like the original high octave, because like one thing that Tyler mentions like after the performance is that their voice has still been changing because,
going through a second puberty.
Yes, because they're going through a second puberty. And Ryan Murphy's like, I'm moved by your story, but not by your talent. And I'm like, does Ryan steal Tyler's story for Unique?
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
Because here's the thing, is that all Ryan knows about Tyler's story is that there's a trans person.
Yeah.
Honestly, that is the thing, is that he's not even moved by Tyler's story. He's moved by the idea of Tyler having a story.
Yeah.
And he's like, you just need to be more confident, and Tyler, you're valid.
Yeah.
And Maxfield sings Always on My Mind by Willie Nelson.
Mm-hmm. It's very soulful.
Yeah.
But it's not very show choir.
I would like to say, I think he has more personality than Blake does.
I would agree. Wholeheartedly.
I did not set out to be constantly bashing Blake in this season, but it is going to happen organically.
Yeah. Yeah. And the producers are underwhelmed by his performance.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not his fault, because he is very new to all of this, but he
yeah.
Even with more personality than Blake, he does come off as just some guy.
Yeah, but like, so the producers decide against a diversity hire. There will be no country on Glee.
Yeah.
And they sent him home to the tune of Keep Holding On, again, always keep holding on, keep on holding on.
I will say that during the discussion on who to send home, Ryan suggests sending two people home, and they're like, no! And Ryan's like, it will have to happen sometime, because I have 14 contestants.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, we get a teaser for the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's gonna be singing, there's gonna be kissing, there's gonna be fighting, there's gonna be failure, there's gonna be the word fuck.
I'm gonna be honest, I just kind of stopped, like, I stopped paying attention when the trailer started, because I was like, I mean, I already know who's going to be the winner this season, but I don't want to spoil myself for the rest of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the Glee Project, such as it was for this episode, or these two episodes. And I am, frankly, shocked that we are at about an hour and 6 minutes of recording.
Yeah. As usual, it's time for Since They've Been Gone!
Yeah.
It was very hard for me to find info on Maxfield. I think he did, like, a guest spot on the show Nashville at some point.
Oh, nice.
And I know he's, like, married and father of at least two kids.
Yeah.
I was doing a desperate check on anything, and I found that, like, last month a trailer was released for an upcoming coming-of-age music drama from Vision Films, which I haven't checked, but I assume that's, like, a Christian music production, or a Christian movie
film
production
company,
because that feels right. But let me quickly watch the trailer for Nashville Wish, and actually, no, I'm gonna share it with you.
Yeah.
We can both watch it.
I hope you started watching it ahead of me, because mine just finally loaded now. Oh, I just realized I'm logged into my account on this computer. I'm gonna be getting YouTube ads for country movies. He's still playing a coming-of-age character! He's... Oh my god. This is solidly 9 years later. No, not even 9 years later. Oh my god. Oh, yep. God has a plan.
So I'll give him this. He is better at acting now.
Yeah. This looks like a movie that is going to be straight to Tubi release.
Yeah. Okay, so 22 in 2012. So he is now 34 playing a high schooler.
Yeah.
To be fair, it does look like there might be a time skip in there, but still.
Yeah, but they did a time skip and they didn't recast him for the time skip.
And he doesn't look old, but he's not a high schooler.
No. Yeah, he definitely, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's the same age as the actress playing his mom.
Yeah. You know what? Good luck, I say. I hope that it makes lots of money for the sake of his family, because kids are expensive, man.
I hope Maxfield is doing well. Unless, of course, he turned out to be kind of an asshole, which I don't want to be true. But, you know, when there's a certain amount of God and Jesus on someone's social media, you get a little bit worried.
Yeah. Yeah, Tanner, you don't have to tell me twice. Remind me to tell you later about some of the profiles that I've had suggested to me on the dating app.
Oh boy. That's why you gotta stop using the Catholic dating apps.
I'm not on the Catholic dating app. This is just generic Christian comment that someone put on their profile.
Oh, that's true. Anyways, The Glee Project, Season 2.
The Glee Project!
Ooh, honey, we're in it now.
Yeah, and like, look, I know that the majority of the contestants on Season 2 probably are older than me, if not by at least a year, at least like 3 or 4 years. So they're all older than me, but I still have the protective instinct of like, this is gonna go so poorly. This is going to be so unhealthy.
We are still older than Nelly, Harper, Michael, Lily Mae, Eileen, and Blake.
Harper is younger than us?
Harper was 21 during the show. So, okay, but it's possible that Harper is older than us, but barely.
No, Harper, Tanner, this was airing in 2012.
2012. 12
Harper
years.
Is older
You're right.
than us.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, Lemming, we are confirmed older than Michael, and then maybe Eileen, Lily, Nelly, and Blake.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, I still have the protective instinct of like, oh my god, y'all. Anyway. Loser Like Me is a part of the Corner Podcast Network. We can be heard on your podcasting platform of choice, now including Spotify, and if we aren't there, let us know and we'll work on getting there. We can be found at Loser Like Me Pod on Blue Sky, I don't think either of us are really checking Twitter anymore, and at loserlikemepod@gmail.com. We also have our own Discord server and Tumblr account with links to those in the episode description. Next time, we're gonna look at some danceability and vulnerability.
Well, we're gonna split those into 2 episodes, though.
Oh, okay.
Because presumably we'll have more to talk about.
Probably, yeah. But until next time...
3, 2, 1... And
that's what you missed on The Glee Project!
Just go ahead and grab a chair and listen now. As we riff the show, Tanner and Christina gonna figure out why we love this show. Better grab your golden stars and slushies, cause you're listening to Loser Like Me. Loser Like Me. Loser Like Me.
Two.
Two!
Two!
Alright, I'm ending my recording.
Yee.